Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This segment is brought to you by Jigmaster Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and use promo code PNF20 and save 20% off your next jig order today.
Welcome to The Reel Down on Paddle and Fin with your hosts, Dan Perry and Jimmy Skinner, where we talk about everything tournament kayak fishing. Here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Reel Down on Paddle and Fin. Thank you for tuning in, as always, whether you're watching or listening. How you doing, Jimmy?
Pretty good, man. What's going on?
Doing good, man. I'm still digging that background. I feel so ghetto. Like tonight I was watching KBM with Tyler there, and, like, you know, everybody, it's like everybody in the podcast game. They got all this nice stuff now, and I am feeling left out in the cold.
Yeah, I was looking at same thing. I've seen Lambert's setup. His setup's awesome, but I never noticed that Jeff's got, like, the lights that glow in the background of his. That looks pretty sick, so I might have to figure something out. Yeah.
Like $10 Amazon lights. I gotta get it together, man. I gotta step up my game. I'm feeling like Josh from Dark Waters. Like,
ooh.
Like I'm like lower level with him.
Not to hate on any of our guys, but at least you're not in front of a cardboard box like Milfy.
Yeah, he, like, his Milford, like, his box doesn't even fit his screen. So if you hopefully you only listen to the Noob Show, because if you ever watched it, like, his background doesn't even fit the frame of his picture. Like,
it was hilarious. I don't even remember what episode that was, but that was hilarious when we talked about that.
It's funny that they get, you know, like, they probably get the most listens because there's less people who are into tournament fishing than there are getting into it, which is, I mean, that's obvious, but, you know, yeah, that kills me. But
yeah, it's still funny.
Yeah, there we go. But I got some people jumping on. Hey, what's up, Brad? Yes, it is not New Year, not yet. But actually, tonight's going to be our last live show for a while. We might come back and do it eventually, but for now, what's going on, Armando? But for now, we're going to take a break from the live show. Just good time.
It's end of season, you know. It's
holidays.
We got all the winners covered.
Yeah, there's no reason to do it right now, so we're going to take a break from the live. But we have a great show tonight, and we are doing it live. Oh, Lord, here's Milford right here. Y'all obviously haven't watched me in a while. That background's been gone for a while. I have not. I listened to your show.
Yeah.
I can't look at you anymore, buddy.
No reason to look at that face, no, man.
And Matt Lintzman, he did good on Chick. Well, he was up there. I don't remember how good he did. It was tough. It was tough on everybody.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. But we have the three people who did the best. So here we go. We'll go ahead and bring them on. We have the three men who did the best. We have Tyler Cole from Iowa. We have Brandon Strock from North Carolina and Tyler Stuhlman from Duluth, Minnesota. And dude, y'all had a sale on your drawers today, and I 30% off, and I got two of them. They're on their way. Y'all have the best underwear in the game, and
there is a Duluth Trading in Duluth. It's just not that company's not actually from there.
Y'all got one here in Birmingham, and you don't have one there?
We have a Duluth Trader in Duluth.
Oh, okay.
But you know, Duluth's not a very real big town. It's you combine it with Superior over in Wisconsin, which I will never don't record this. I'll never admit that we're part of them. But it's okay. There's about 100,000 or so people in the metro area.
Gotcha. I've never been. I've actually seen like pictures of it. It's a beautiful place. I mean,
it is.
But I'll start with you. How did you like? Tell us about yourself. And I gotta know because I looked on your Facebook. It said you're from Shreveport. How the heck did you get to Minnesota?
Well, you know, I'm from Shreveport. And yes, Caddo was my home lake growing up as a kid, which I'm looking forward to because I haven't fished it in 30 years, and most of that fishing was into the trees. So. And yes, and you know, one of my parents moved to Texas and one stayed in Louisiana, and I kind of moved back and forth and did a stint in the Navy for, you know, 10 years and playing around in some submarines. And when I got out, went back to Texas, and that's where I met my wife. And she's a university professor, got a job in Minnesota. And so I officially moved to Minnesota. I there most of the year, but my business is still in Texas. So
okay,
I'm here and make the money that pays for my fishing. And
how'd you get into kayak fishing?
After I moved to Minnesota, it was, you know, the summers are just so nice. I've been from Texas, and 100 degree summers, about the only decent thing to do is to go, you know, lay in water somewhere if you're going to go outside. So it was so nice. You know, my wife and I bought little kayaks, and I decided to buy a little Zebco rod and buy a license and start fishing again. And it took me about a month of doing that. And I bought a canoe and started floating the river, had four rods, and dropped two of them in the river and bought four more. And it just progressed. That end of 2018, that was 2018. The end of that year, I fished in one local tournament here and won, which wasn't saying much because I only caught one fish. Only three fish were caught, and mine just happened to be the biggest. But I won that, and I was hooked. The next year, kind of played around a little bit with the local tournament and got into KBF a little bit towards the end of the year. And made the challenge championship at La Crosse. Got to go to La Crosse and actually didn't qualify for the national championship at Guntersville. I was one of the 12 people that Chad grandfathered in. And I've just been plugging away at all these national tournaments, trying to learn. So,
yeah.
We've
been a little bit all into the States fishing.
Yeah. So, and then we'll work our, cause Scott got third and Brandon, you got second. Tell us about yourself, man.
I was born and raised Cookeville area in Tennessee. Never left. I did a little bit in the Marine Corps and traveled a little bit. And when I got out, I started working for Terry Golden, a guy that I fished with. I think y'all had him on last week. And I did a lot of the local boat tournaments and stuff, and what ended up happening is I had a lower unit freeze and go out, and Terry talked me into getting a Hobie, and I bought a PA-14 first thing, and that was 2 years ago, and I've just been fishing around here since. I couldn't ever go back, man. I love this guy stuff.
I'm saying, you went big right out of the gate, man, straight into a Hobie.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you know Terry too, there wasn't anything else. You know, he said, you got to get this one. I said, all right, you know, let's go do it tomorrow.
Terry says that I'll do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I've moved around kayaks since then a little bit, but I'm back in a Hobie, and, man, I love them. That drive, it's awesome. But, I love this whole kayak fishing business. And if it wasn't for it, I probably would have never started fishing Gunnersville and Chickamauga and stuff like that. You know, Del Hollow and Center Hills where I grew up fishing, but since then I've kind of got to go out and go see these really big lakes and meet a lot of people. So it's been a good deal.
And do you live in North Carolina now?
What's that?
You live in North Carolina now?
No, I was stationed there. I'm back in Cookeville right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Tyler, how about you? First place, the man with the big trophy.
Yeah, just barely edged it out. I'm a Midwest boy, born and raised in Iowa. The Mississippi River is my home. I mean, I live about 45 minutes from there. Started kayak fishing. I bought a kayak 8 years ago, 9 years ago, just for floating our little rivers around here. Like I come from the background of walleye and crappie. And then I got into doing one online event that was like a multi-species, and it was every month was something different. And it got me started. And then I caught like 99 inches of bass that month. And I'm like, oh, these things are stupid.
I love it.
And I've been.
Yeah, but they say that about us sometimes too.
That there is no doubt. I mean, you would think that a fish with a brain the size of a pea could make us literally pull our hair out, but they do. And yeah, I had a killer year in 2017. Ended up at Hobie Worlds in 2018. I was a director.
What location was that one?
That was a mall, Sweden.
That's so freaking cool.
Oh, that's awesome. It was definitely a trip of a lifetime. I mean, Hobie puts it out. I mean, they really by like Thursday, you're tired of eating caviar. You know, that's that's the kind of event they bring you to.
That's so cool. What species was that one?
That was pike and perch, and the perch I still say are nobody. I never saw one the whole time I was there. I think it's a myth that they're in there, but I mean, definitely a cool event. And then 2019, I took Iowa Angler of the Year. I did it in 2017, pretty much took 18 off because of Worlds. And then 19, I came back and won the Iowa Angler of the Year again. And then this year has just been a mess,
but Midwest I got hammer.
Yeah, I got a TOC win in 17 before the TOC was cool. Back when it was at Fork with Cody Prather and them, and
let's sum this up. You don't suck.
No, I'm a director. I suck at fishing, so I'm a director.
what kind of kayak are you in?
I just fished my last tournament in a Hobie. Okay. And I'll be switching brands next year.
Uh-oh.
Where are you going?
I can't say yet.
One of these days we're going to get the, you know, you heard it here first on the show.
No, it'll be good for fishing national levels. So here we go.
What Hobie are you in right now?
I'm still riding my original PA-14 that I bought in 2016. I bought a 2016 demo, and I've just never got out of it.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Holds out.
Yeah, I mean, they're bulletproof. I'm still using the original, the V2 drive. I mean, the things, they don't blow up. I got a 180 drive that I never used.
If you do a Facebook Marketplace search, I mean, things change on the PAs, but for the most part, it's the same boat, and they seem to last. I mean, I can't speak, but I mean, you see people selling 2014 PA-14s. Look like they're more than capable of lasting for a long time.
Absolutely. And I mean, they make an awesome platform. I mean, the biggest thing for me is I don't like my rods up in the air.
Yeah.
Cause I fish underneath things, and next thing I know, I'm all wrapped up. So having the ability to lay them front and back next to your seat was huge to me.
Well, hell, don't talk them up too much, man.
I'll never say a bad word about Hobie, but I mean, that thing carried me a long ways.
Cool. So, all right. So who wants to give us for anybody that hasn't been to, we'll say Chick, cause I'll mispronounce it. We kind of talked about that with Terry and all the different ways you can pronounce it. Brandon, you're probably the closest. You want to give us a kind of overview of the lake and tell us kind of all about it. How it
and it's you know, typical Tennessee River lake. It's got a lot of good grass. They ain't, you know, out there spraying it, and it's one of those lakes that you could go out and get skunk, you know, like, you know, and be hard like the other day was, but any given cast, you know, you can have a 10 or 12 pound fish on. I mean, it's crazy. There's not another lake I've ever fished like it. Maybe the closest being Gunnersville.
Yeah. TBK goes both places.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And them guys, you know, I'm probably live the furthest away out of anybody that in that club. I think it takes me like an hour and 45 minutes to get there. But, I go that far just to fish it, you know, and there's clubs closer. I mean, I love that place, and it's getting a little harder, you know. We've seen that Saturday. This time last year, it seemed like it was a lot better, but still, the fact that you can go any day on any part of that lake and catch a 10-pound bass or bigger is unreal. I mean, a guy I worked with 2 years ago had one. I think it was like 14.9 or something like that out of Saudi Creek. It was real close to the record. I mean, it's just unreal. It's a definitely awesome place to be.
So with such a big lake, how'd y'all go into practice saying, okay, this is the area, you know, you have such a big body of water. How'd you decide where you wanted to practice? Scott, we'll start with you.
For me, it was an extension of Gunnersville, really. And that first day at Gunnersville, I did really good in practice. I caught fish every day.
At the national championship.
I caught a lot of fish. Like, I knew I had a spot pattern. I could go to Chick right now, or I could go to Gunnersville right now and catch 5 spots, you know, in an hour. Like, I knew I could catch spots. My problem on day one was that I thought I had a 5th fish submitted already and didn't, and left, told my buddy, hey, I'm going to go upsize a fish, and went to go try to find some bigger fish, and didn't realize till basically the end of time, the day one, that I didn't have 5 fish. And so day two, I said, all right, I'm going to, I saw beautiful hard bottoms up here, caught a couple of smallmouth in practice, said, I'm going up here where the bottom's hard and there's deep holes, and I'm going to fish for smallmouth. And I caught some monsters at Gunnersville and lost too. And nearly still made the top 100 and said, so when I saw Chick, I was like, I kind of made a last minute decision to actually go into the tournament. But first thing I did is I started looking for that skinnier water with maybe a hard bottom. And I knew with the temperature and the pull down that small mouth would be in play, because I gambled that guys would maybe catch a 21 plus, but that most of the rest of the limit might not fill out.
Right.
And that was my gamble. And we didn't even fish. Like, we had a pretty good spot pattern. It was just not as good of a, it was a worse logistical float, and didn't even fish that. That had been a 2-day tournament, I'd have had a limit of 16, 17, 18 inch spots, because we were catching spots like crazy too. I'd spots, and that didn't even count all the dinks and the 20 pound plus catfish I caught on a drop.
What you're saying about your plan held true too. Cause if, anybody that wasn't following along with the tournament, 15 people caught a limit. There was, I think, one person in the top 15 that had 4 fish. But for the most part, it was just a struggle. A lot of small fish. I mean, and there were 5 fish limits that were all small fish. You know, it was just the fact that you were able to get five bites in the boat. So
yeah, I called a 12 and a 13. I tried to swing about a 14 and a half spot in the boat, and he spit my bait. But it was really, I tell you what it was. It was having a really good fishing partner, Joey, who got 5th in the tournament. You know, he and I, we pre-fished. We have a little bit different techniques, and we just kind of blanketed the spot that I said, the bass are going to be here. And we just blanketed until we got on the pattern, and that stuck. I got a new Old Town, you know, autopilot, and that thing is just money in the river.
Do you have the 12 or the big 13?
The big one.
Yeah.
That thing is so steady. I could stand up in 2-foot waves in wind. It'll hold in the river. I stand up and crankbait in the river, and that was about it. And I just got on the bottom. That's what I caught him on at Gunnersville. Got him on the bottom, and smallmouth were biting.
And here, I'll go over all the numbers of Tyler, obviously first place with 89.5. Brandon second with 87. Scott third with 81.5. Jason Hensley with 81 inches. And then Scott, your buddy Joey Vano with 80.5. And down past that, it started to drop off. And like Jimmy said, only 15 limits. It was tough, you know. And now 148 anglers, only 15 limits.
We were coming to Tennessee. I told people, I was like, I'm always worried. Anytime Russ is in the tournament, you got to be worried, right? And although Russ was down in there, if you actually look, Russ had 68 inches and 4 fish. He only needed one more fish, and he would have dumped 3 of us in the top 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and Jody Queen was, I mean, I think he was around 10th, I think. You know, there was some, but
I will have to thank Jody for posting that picture of that big fish he caught, because I think that pushed a bunch of people down in the lake for sure. I think a bunch of people may have spread out a little bit more.
They went chasing Jody versus chasing fish.
chasing one of those big ones.
All right, Brandon, how about you, man? If having some experience on the lake, how did you decide? Practice.
Well, I went up there and practiced beside the plant, the nuclear plant or whatever. Just another community hall. I've practiced a little bit up towards the Watts Bar Dam. I grew up fishing down there, and I love, you know, being from Center Hill and Del Hollow. I love smallmouth. But I found out in the past that unless I'm absolutely on them, I just end up going to Chester Frost. I've been beat way too many times down there. There's a couple community holes down there. I think Jake Wheeler won down there not long ago this year. And there's 2 or 3 good humps in that bay. And, you know, I planned on just throwing a rig. I didn't even take a frog, because I had practiced earlier that week and it was cold. And I thought, man, I really ain't getting a lot of action out of this grass. And I took some chatterbaits just in case. And I get there and, you know, I miss a couple, and it wasn't really as active as I wanted it to be. And I saw Tyler back there. I mean, fishing that grass. And I think that, you know, that place is pressured a lot, especially that area with pleasure boaters too, normally earlier in the year. But, you know, the fact that me and him, we were really close and we still finished, you know, up this high says a lot about that place. If you just stay patient with them down there, you can get on them. There's fish everywhere.
Did you have a lot of company down there, kayak, from guys in the tournament? Because that's where I had planned on going.
Yeah, I was worried about that. When I pulled in, I was the first one there at the jet ski ramp anyway. And I think there was five or six other people pulled in beside me, and there were some others down the other place. But I really didn't see very many people until I got around the campground where Tyler was fishing. Maybe one or two other people throughout the day. I think everybody traveled or stayed real shallow. You know, I was out there in the middle of the lake most of the day until I decided to pack it up and throw that jackhammer. You know,
but I'd have been out there with you, man. That was my whole game plan before work got in the way, is I was going to camp down there and just run all over that bay and maybe a little outside the bay. Just put that, the two areas you said, you know, the power plant and Chester Frost, mm-hmm. I was going to make it work or just go home with nothing. So I hate I didn't make it, because apparently it was a good idea.
There were plenty of drum around the power plant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you, I caught my first four right there beside the ramp. I mean, I started fishing the grass right there at the ramp. I don't know why that place gets overlooked. And, you know, I don't care to tell anybody where I fish or what I throw, but I was sitting there fishing right on the ramp and guys just running up and down the lake. And, you know, I know a lot of, I didn't see really anybody else get on them in the boats or nothing, but just put in and start fishing right there. I mean, there's fish. That's where every tournament goes out at, you know.
Retrieve.
That's where they dump the fish. That's there's right. fish there. You just got to stick with them. So that was my plan anyway.
And what was your go-to? Did you catch most of it on the jackhammer?
Yeah, I started out, I caught a couple of non-keepers on the rig early on. I went back there. There's a hump in the back of the bay. Birds started flying early that morning, diving. And I thought, you know, I just followed them for a little while. And then I was just getting short strikes. I wasn't really hooking up on anything, and thought, you know, it's warming up. I'm going to been picked up a little bit at that time, and which I really wanted it to. But I thought, well, I'm just going to go throw this jackhammer on these grass lines. I did that back and forth all day long. So
that's what I had talked about it when we had Steve on. That was the whole thing I was going to do, was come up there and just throw the chatterbait until I blew my shoulder out. So.
Yep. Yeah,
it's nice to know. I might have had a chance.
Yeah, and pretty much after the spawn, that's my old game plan for the year. You know, until winter, I'd rather fish with it really, really cold, and it just wasn't cold enough for me. I almost didn't fish this tournament, you know. And I come out and practiced, and it just wasn't cold. And I thought, well, I'll just give it a shot. But, yeah, until it gets real cold and starts icing up the line, I mean, that's pretty much all I do. And as long as it keeps working, I'm going to do it. I don't care. So,
how about you, Scott? We didn't ask you how you caught them.
You know that Bennett Bass Pro Shop that's got the cheap $2.50 Bass Pro baits?
Heck yeah.
That's what I caught. I did my damage with that. At Gunners, again, as I learned it at Gunners, or Gunnersville, they were hitting the sexy shad color. But up here, because it was a little bit colder, I went with a yellow with the black back, yellow brown back color. Sure. And the small is just in the drum. pretty much everybody was honed in on that. And then I mixed that with the pumpkin seed color in a DT, and that color just, for some reason, that color just does money. If I can find the fish, pulling that thing through grass or on the bottom, smallmouth especially, that thing gets to be real deadly with a smallmouth. So, but yeah, that was pretty much it. I was moving up and down the current and just slow cranking and staying on the bottom, and then long line it, and then slow crank it. And then once I went down to the end of my spot, I turn around and go back the other way and do it upstream.
Okay. Tyler, the man who came from Iowa and whooped all his southern guys. You found the spot, came to the spot. Brandon was there, a man from here who fishes it all the time. How did you find that area? And how did you get on the bite? And what did you throw?
I literally fished Soddy on Thursday and caught four fish all day. Spent way too much time there. And so I came back to the campground Thursday night and just kind of regrouped and was talking to a buddy that I traveled with. And I'm like, you know, I've been sitting here all week watching these seagulls drop on these shad schools. And there's when you pull into Chester Frost to go down to where we camped, you can see all the grass and the mat out on the main river. And I'm like, you know what? Why not just go check it out? What do I really have to lose, you know?
Yeah.
And so I turned the finder on side scan, set it at 60 feet and just went to work. And I just started putting miles on running through the inside of the cove at Chester Frost. And there's 3 million shad and no bass to eat them. And so I went up around the corner. I come back out and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to run down and check these grass mats quick. And just because that's fishing grass up here, like fishing the river a lot. That's my focus up here. So that's my sort of strong suit.
Yeah.
And so I was throwing a chatterbait and caught two 15 inch fish in about 10 casts. And I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I'm onto something here. And so I went scanning again, and I ran down a ways and around an island and kind of came back up into another backwater pocket that had grass in it. And I'm like, all right, there's a couple docks close by. I'm like, so I was coming back and I got right back up by the campground and where it kind of flattens off. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to throw a frog just to humor myself, you know. If there's grass, you can get a frog to eat. If it's 60 degrees, they're going to eat it.
Yeah.
And literally three casts in, I picked up an 18. And I'm like, well, one fish is luck, two is a pattern. I moved ahead about 30 yards and cast it again and caught a 19 and a half. And I'm like, yep, I'm going back to the campground. And I like the
way you put that. One's left, two's a pattern.
Yeah,
I've been catching them on Gunnersville lately on a frog, you know, in the grass. They're still biting.
Yeah, I mean, up here, I start throwing a frog at 51, 52 degrees on sunny days, you know. So I mean, we were well within range. But I mean, I know the southern fish are way different than us, the northern strain we have up here, but. I mean, it's still a bass,
yeah.
You know. All it is a reaction strike, anyway.
What's your frog of choice you were using?
Booyah Pad Crasher, literally $5.97 from Walmart. And
I've got so many of those things.
It's all I use. I don't own another frog. And everybody's like, "Well, you got to have a black one. You got to have a white one." I'm like, "No, it doesn't matter what." It doesn't matter what the weather is. It doesn't matter if the clouds are in the sky or if the sun's in the sky. A frog still looks like a frog, you know?
Yep.
So.
I throw the black and red, and that's literally about it. Like, I've probably got all of the colors, but I literally, like, I have a box of frogs. I think all of them are Booyah. None of them have touched the water, but I've got, like, yeah. A black and red and a black and yellow that are just beat to hell.
Yeah, Stan, I got a green with a white belly and green with a yellow belly and literally have a box full of those two colors. That's it.
That's awesome.
There you go. Can't argue with what works.
No, I mean, you keep it simple. It's like Swindle said, he fishes with a brown and black jig, and when he changes it up, he fishes with a black and brown jig.
You know? Sometimes it gets crazy and swaps the color.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're big fish from the other day. I'm assuming it was on the frog too. Is that pretty much the bait that did the damage for you?
Yeah, when I came out Saturday morning, I got to the first corner of grass mat and I threw the chatterbait twice and set it down. I'm like, you know, this frog got me bigger fish. And when I fish with a frog, I commit to it and I stick with it all day long. You know, a lot of guys will just throw it in the morning and then set it down. And some of my biggest bites are from 11 to 2.
Afternoon.
I mean, especially right now, in my opinion, this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I set the rod down. I set everything down and I started casting across this point with the frog and I got drilled by that 18. And it was super aggressive and got the fish back to the boat and its belly was full. So I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I'm right thinking that, you know, the fish are migrating and they just pull up here to eat for a little bit and then they move back out, you know, so it's always going to be loading.
Yeah.
And I come to find out just how wrong I was. Cause I literally never got another bite till almost 10:30. And yeah. I had to run clear down and around an island and I found two back to back and that was enough to keep me going, you know. So
and no, I came it's, back. It's funny that you talk about committing to it because I do the same thing. Like if I'm in it's terrible. I fish Gunnersville a lot.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You know, I commit to it where if I see anywhere that you should throw a frog, I'm going to throw the frog. Usually doesn't matter what the conditions are. And like you said, when you commit, it can work out sometimes, but there's been a lot of days where I've blanked and it's literally because I wouldn't put that frog rod down. You know, I'll have a swipe or something from a gar and that's enough to like spark my interest. Like, well, I'll take that too. Let's just get a topwater bite going.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I've learned. I mean, it's you're either going to live by it or you're going to die by it.
For sure.
I can get ignorant with a frog real quick. Like, oh, you want the frog? Oh, okay. Yeah, let's start the frog all day.
Yeah.
I can get
that. I just figured, you know, you stop and you look at these campgrounds and everybody fishes off the bank and you always hear about the one guy catching a 6-pounder on a bobber. You know, so I'm like, well, there's probably one here just because there's a campground here.
Oh yeah, no, I've had my feelings hurt, man. First time I ever fished Gunnersville, the worst trip I've ever had. We're on the way back. There's a shirtless kid covered in dirt fishing on this broken pier, and yep. He's holding a 9-pounder that he caught 15 foot from the ramp. I was like, well, yeah, but it stays in your mind forever.
The best story I have is Lake Fork. For the TOC in 2017, and we went in the bait shop and they had those double whopper plopper like buzz baits. Yeah. They had them buy one get one free. They literally had them on a box on the floor, and this guy walks in and I mean he could tell he owns a minnow bucket, and he walks over and he grabs a couple of them and he's like, these things work? And I'm like, well, I've caught some fish on them. I said, but they're not my most favorite thing. He literally goes up, sets him on the counter, and he's fishing off a dock right in front of where we're camping. And no joke, this thing went 12-6 on the scale. Second cast on a Zebco with 12-pound test.
Wow.
The kind of luck that I'll never have.
You got it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I did. Because we didn't. Go ahead.
Oh, I had a kid come out of a tent. He's literally in coveralls, like Carhartt coveralls. He comes out of the tent, you know, because it's 30 degrees down there in November. And he's like, hey, man, my buddy just caught a 6-pounder off the dock over there. I'm like, oh, all right. I'm not going to cast between the bobbers, but here we are.
That's so funny. But something that we didn't ask that we normally ask, and since y'all each had kind of a different technique going, we'll start with Scott. What was your go-to setup? Like rod, reel, line, and everything.
Most of my rods are the brand they sell at Academy. I'm in Texas, so I end up buying a lot of stuff down here. I get bored while I'm working and go buying stuff. The All Star brand, which it's a company that's owned by, you know, the same company that owns Berkeley and like half the fishing, you know, manufacturing stuff. But All Stars only sold through Academy. So that's a majority of my rods. And, you know, I'm cranking with a medium. And All Stars tend to be on a little heavy side of whatever they're rated at. So a medium All Stars, you know, just it's on the heavy side. You know, I do have a couple of other rods, some St. Croix rods. They make an Icon rod that's for walleye fishing, and they make it in a casting rod, but you can't find it anywhere. I got lucky and found it, I think, when we were in somewhere. It was Gunnersville, or no, it was before that. But yeah, and it's a heavier duty rod. Because I've had a couple of rods break on me this year setting hooks, and I realized that I might have a little bit of a quick trigger sometimes.
That's better than a weak hook, so.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, that's pretty much it. And you know, one of my fish I caught on a tube, flipping it with that. I wasn't flipping it with a spinning rod, but you know, I flipped it with that. The you know, one of those St. Croix that I do some flipping with, and then the rest of it I was just cranking with medium crankbaits. Most of my reels are you know, Luz and Abu Garcia, and I you know, sometimes I burn through reels just because, you know, I'm practicing, but I, you know, I fish 15, 16 up in Minnesota. We got 15, 16 hours of sunlight in the summer. Right. So I'm fishing 15, 16 hours a day, every day, if possible. And so sometimes I burn through reels. So, you know, I'm always looking for a decent, inexpensive reel. Bought a couple of the Cast Kings, in that Spartacus, and because they have both braking systems in it.
And do you like the Cast King? I've never used one.
I've gotten where I like them a little bit better. The metal framed ones don't, that the Spartacus 2 doesn't have the both braking systems, so it's a little bit harder to tweak in. But if I just kind of set those aside and only use them for like a heavier bait, and I've got one of them that's a 10-1. That's what I'll throw if I throw a buzz bait or something on the surface.
Burner.
And just burn, like something to burn with a 10-1. Just so, you know, but the other ones have performed pretty well. They've been catching me fish, you know, and most of my lures are pretty solid. And the Abu Garcias that I've had a bunch of the Revos. They were great, great reels. But you know, one of the things about the Revo S was that the side plate pops off. So yep. I got two of them with no side plate, and during COVID you can't get any kind of customer service. So
You can't discount those All Star rods, man. I used to throw those back when All Star was, but I guess before they were bought out. I've still got, I think, two of the original All-Star rods, 6'6" medium heavies that are, like you said, they're a little heavy on the heavy side, but they're beast rods.
Yeah, man. these are their nano line. They're not bad. They're not bad.
Is that those that are like that hyper yellow?
They are hyper yellow. And I tell you what, in the northern lakes, if you ever drop your rod in the lake in about 10 feet of water, I literally dropped it, came back the next day and looked around and could bear kind of see where it was and ended up hooking it and pulling it back out.
Scott, you weren't in Chester Frost, right?
I was not. I fished from basically where the Watts Bar landing boat ramp was down.
Okay. So two out of three of y'all were, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So somebody, Chris Adams, asked. All right. Oh, yeah. Brandon, what's that chatterbait set up, man?
It's a Daiwa, the Tatula 100s. I'm notoriously hard on all of my stuff. I mean, example is I was throwing my rig, you know, earlier in the morning, and it just so happened while a boat come by, you know, I backlashed like crazy, and I'm out there cussing up a storm. And so I took the side plate off my Calcutta to adjust it, screws, putting it back on. So I'm pretty rough on stuff. And those Tatulas, man, they're tanks. I've yet to break one. I think I've almost every one of my bait casters is a Tatula, just the original Tatula. And my jackhammer rods, my chatterbait rods are the Cashin chatterbait rod. I don't even know if they make it anymore. You know, it's hard. I just bought another one. I have two or three of them. It's perfect. You know, I've missed a bunch of them. I was like Scott said, I'm pretty quick to, you know, try and set the hook on them. And that rod right there just has good delay, and it's helped me out a lot this year. But Cash and rods, for the most part, I love them. Elite series and
is that chatterbait rod a glass blank or is it?
No, it's not. It's just a regular rod, but I think it's a 7.1. They say it's a fast, but it's not really fast. It's more like a moderate fast, and it's rated pretty good. It's medium heavy, but I like it better in glass. I don't want to be throwing a glass. That's just me. You know, I don't want to wear myself out throwing a glass rod all day long, but I know a lot of guys that like them. Yeah.
I'm still going to go straight about it myself.
What line do you use?
Seagull red label Seagar, 15-pound
4-0
straight. Most, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because line capacity on those, I use the 100 size reels, 15-pound. I use that 15-pound line on most of my stuff. And I just stick with red label. It's cheap. I like it. I think, normally I'll have one, like if I'm pulling the stealth jackhammer or something, I'll have the 12-pound tied on, but mostly 15. Yeah.
What's your experience with the stealth? I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it yet. So what do you think about it?
I don't know. I don't know enough. I ain't caught enough, you know, yet. I think this winter I'll get a little more experience with it. The fact that I throw, you know, most of the time I'm fishing that stuff around grass, I don't like it.
Yeah, it played pretty well in on Mille Lacs around the rocks. The smallmouth seemed to like it.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna throw a little bit Dill Hollow. I might this winter, for some smallmouth, but I don't know enough about it yet. I like the hook, you know, the smaller hook. It's a lot of wire. I do like that, but we'll see. Don't have as much action. And it's quicker to foul out, but I'm sure it has its place.
Right.
You know,
I haven't tried it, but I'd like to use that cross-eyes one too. Super heavy cover. I haven't bought one yet, but I saw something online. I saw a picture of it today. I was like, yeah, I forgot they came out with that. I could see some.
Just bought a couple today. In that fire crawl. Got prepped for the spring.
Man, I said that last week. People, you best buy fire crawls before they run out of them.
Hey, your boys,
I think
got,
I've got like
steal.
30 of them.
I was gonna say.
Man, I remember after Gunnersville, the pros fished Gunnersville, you could not find one of those in the store anywhere.
Yeah.
I lucked out and won a raffle that had five or six of them in it. And already had like three or four of them.
I had some last year before the Logan Martin event. And I think I might have been the first one. I truly think I might have been one of the first people to have some.
Man, that one's awesome.
I've still got my very first one, man. I've literally beat the paint off the head. Like, it is beat to death.
I bought four, and I still have three of them.
But, all right, Tyler. Tell me how Frog set up.
Well, you know what Frog uses.
Yeah. I mean, and every rod I own is a Range Shadow Revelation blank built by Hawkeye Custom Rods over in Piazza, Iowa. My Frog. Yeah, I love them. They're light, super light, and they got tons of backbone. But this one's a 7.6 heavy. I mean, it's a meat stick. It's got a 14-inch handle on it. I run a loose Super Duty, which is actually, it's no more. I actually blew it up on that last fish. What they call an acid wrap or a spiral eye design. So your first eye is up like normal, and then it starts to rotate around. So your tip is pointed down. So it takes all the torque out of your rod. You know, you ever set the hook on a big fish and the reel wants to spin out of your hand? That takes all that away.
I know like a Cajun Baby, he was like Cliff Crochet, he was with a company that was doing that. How do you like that? It seems like it would be counterintuitive to how a blank is set up, because a blank is meant to go a certain way, right?
Yeah, you spine it to your eye down, and you'll never, like, your line doesn't touch the blank, you know, like on your jig rod, when you're jigging, that line's constantly slapping off your blank, where when you go to the spiral, you don't feel it near as much. And just taking the torque out of the reel, you know, we've all done it. You get hit right close to the boat, you set the hook and about lose the rod out of your hand because it wants to twist.
I would love that for my fucking punching rod, man. My punching rod, I have dropped so many times.
Yeah. And I mean, that was one thing for me, like, so I'm a millwright by trade. So my hands by Friday, Saturday, my wrists and hands and elbows are just shot. So
I did it for 7 years, and the best thing I ever did was get away from that.
That's what everybody keeps telling me. They're like, just get out. But you know, it pays for my fishing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's definitely something. There's a ton of articles on it online, and definitely check it out. I mean, there's very few companies that do it anymore. But I mean, if you're looking at custom, I mean, any of the Range Shadow builders or even Al out of Piazza, he'll ship anywhere.
I'm gonna have to write that down and take a look at it. Because I'm in the market for a new punching rod. I'm loving all my Dobbins, but
yeah,
I would love to give that a shot just to see if that torque's gone.
I mean,
that sounds pretty cool.
And there's not, you don't see it a lot. I mean, they are a little more work carrying, you know, because you have to watch your eye going up and you have to watch your eyes going down, you know. But I mean, for me, the benefits have been a lot more. I mean, you get farther out on your cast, you can really get a good hook set and use the blank to really hit the fish. And that actually came into play this weekend. When the second to last fish, I literally ripped the lips off it.
Yeah, I read your story. That's insane.
Yeah, I don't know if this fish had been caught a bunch and its lips were all tore up or what, but I literally just brought the bristles back and the end of the lip. But, you know, but yeah, that's insane. Then I 65-pound Suffix 832. and I set the drag just cinch tight, as tight as I can get it. So oh, yeah.
If I'm throwing a frog, I don't, if anything breaks, it's going to rip the reel out of the reel seat.
Right.
I feel yes. you on that. If yeah. you blew up and a Super Duty, that says something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a beast of a reel.
I have literally not found a reel yet that will last me over a year. And I mean, I've been through lose. I've been through everything 13 there is in the world.
I break everything 13. That's why I don't use it anymore. Yeah.
I bought a Tatula SV this year, and literally my second fish on it, the spool literally broke and slid over. And I mean, it was, I don't know. It's, if anybody's got ideas for really good reels that hold up, let me know.
Talking like you're talking fishing, you know, heavy stuff and hard hitting. I've never broke one of my Corrados, and not even saying like the DC, the low end Corrados. I've got three of them. I haven't had the first. I mean, I had there's a little cover on the thumb button. That yep. thing flew off. But other than that, on one of them, I've never broke one, never had a slip or any malfunction. Now, I don't think I could say it about all Shimano's, because I've let my buddy borrow one, bed fishing this year. And he hammered, and I've never heard a reel make the clunking and clanking that my KS did when he was done with
yeah.
it. He destroyed that reel. And I was bragging to him. It was like a five-year-old reel that wouldn't die. And he, I mean, one swing, and he destroyed it.
Yeah, literally two trips with a brand new K. And I stripped the gears right out of it. Jeez. I mean, the drag wouldn't even catch.
Jesus.
But that's why I bass fish, though.
Yeah,
that's why I bass fish, because
you were fishing for musky or something bigger.
Oh,
I have the problem every time I set a hook on I think it's a bass and it's a big northern. both times I broke my rod, that's what happened.
Dang,
it's like I tell them, you got to set the hook like you're going to change that bass's life.
Yep. what I used to think that. When I'd see the guys, you know, load up and hit that, you know, like picturesque arch, and I was like, man, those guys are stupid. And then I had a guy say something about how much of a sissy my hook sets were, and I was like, fine. And I've noticed since I start swinging for the fence, I seem to catch a lot more fish. So I just,
yeah,
I feel, you know, I do a lot of moving water and small water fishing. Sometimes when you do that, that poor little 12-inch fish just flies, and I'm sorry, but
yeah,
at least I caught you.
Right, catch them on the way by.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's almost been an hour here. We'll give everybody a chance to thank anybody who makes this easier for you. We'll start with you, Scott. Anybody you want to shout out?
Mostly just my wife, you know. She gives me a lot of room and flexibility. She knows I love to fish, and she knows that I don't get to do it in Minnesota the whole year because of the cold. So she's pretty cool about it. And, you know, other than that, you know, like you said, you know, some of the association guys up here, Joey and Zach and these guys that were helping me work on getting a little competitive series going up in Minnesota, try to expand some of the upper end of fishing. Those guys appreciate any help and work that they do. And, you know, just kind of my local suppliers when I have them. Got Russ up at Marine General in Duluth who hooked me up with my autopilot.
If you're in Minnesota and want a tournament fish, holler at Scott. And dude, you gotta get with Duluth Trading Company.
I don't know why there aren't national tournaments up there, man. You can go out and catch 50, 100 fish every day. You might not be catching, you know. It's hard to catch a 20 up at where I'm at. There's a couple of them in the lake, but I seem to find them every once in a while. So
it would be a damn shame if you don't have like the Duluth butt naked kayak trail next year. Like that needs to happen.
The raffle prize for the tournaments, the Duluth
ballroom kayak
trail. Yep.
Yeah.
For real, dude.
The fire hose award.
I love their clothes. They're a little dad clothes, but man, I'm 41. I don't care. I'm past that now.
I'm only 32, and I'm dad, like, I love their stuff.
I mean, that's
am I like the now. Old guy in the room?
Man, don't call
how are you?
I'll be 42 on Wednesday.
Oh, oh yeah, geez,
you're young. Yeah. I'm 45.
I'm Mark. Oh, are you?
Yeah.
We'll see. Scott's gotcha. There you go. Come to Mille Lacs. See? There you go.
Yeah, Mille Lacs.
It's on the, I will be there next year. It's on the list.
I tell you what's even better than that. If I can get some people to come up to Schwamigan Bay up in northern Wisconsin, up in Lake Superior, that place has got some beasts.
Hollering at, I'm yeah. surprised. If y'all would have got with them earlier, I know Paddle and Finn, they're doing a trail. Susie Roloff, they could have done an event up there that they could have.
Yeah, she's from my wife's hometown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Susie, the queen.
Yeah, they could have done a stop up there because I know they're doing Wisconsin. But
yeah.
It's hard to get tournaments there just because, like any big body of water up north, like the wind, any given day, the wind could shift on you. And the bay is a little protected, but still, you know.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, how about you, man? Now, I saw Brad talking good about you on there. You know it's good if Brad's saying good things about you.
Yeah, he's lying. He takes my money all the time. You can't listen to him or Terry. I've funded their fishing this year, I'm pretty sure. So
I was fixing to say nothing away from Brandon. Brandon's a killer guy. He already qualified for the Classic at our event in Alabama. But if you just look around on Tourney X throughout the year, the Goldens run.
Yeah,
run.
Yeah, they're having a good year. The last year, both of them has done really well. I mean, they've, like I said, I think I funded their fishing last year. They took my money about half the events we went to. So, but I fish for Caney Fork. So I got to give them a shout out. I mean, they're always hooking me up. They're great to work with. And, they've been a real help this last year, especially I got into an Outback, come from a Blue Sky to an Outback and,
That's a big switch.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I'm hard on everything. So, for our state championship, you know, or tournament or whatever, about a month ago, I actually left my drive and my paddle at the ramp and turned around and went back for my Outback and, it was gone. So I had to fish it in my Blue Sky. And so I got to give a shout out to Dugout too, because I got with Steve and he said, you know, they had a drive in stock. So they sent me one up 2 days and I was ready to go for this tournament. But Caney Fork's been great. So that's pretty much it for me. I mean, I just got a Bend and Branches paddle from them, you know, that they sent me for this tournament too. So. If anybody's ever in the area and needs to, you know, to look at some gear, they've got two locations and they're good people to work for. So,
yeah. There you go. Caney Fork. Awesome. And, Tyler, how about you?
I'm with Mossy Oak Fishing, Bassett Baits out of Rockford, Illinois. He supplies me with a ton of jigs every year. I actually have my own line of jigs through him. That we designed. It was about two years of him being sick and tired of me giving him suggestions to make this thing right. So, but and then Hawkeye Custom Rods out of Piasta, like I was talking earlier. I mean, if you ever get to the point where you want to be technique specific and you really want that custom feel and not just a shelf rod, just give me a holler. I mean, we'll do whatever we can to get you set up there. Boondocks, Lurch's Lures. Lurch lives right on Chick. I mean, he's got the juice. He makes some killer little swim baits for the rigs. I mean, get a hold of him for that. Robohawk is here in Iowa. They're an Iowa-based lanyard company. I mean, he makes some awesome stuff and takes care of you whether you're in a tree sitting on the ice or in your kayak. You know, he'll make you anything you need. So, and I mean, my kids are my biggest fans. And my daughter literally snatched the trophy out of my hand, and I haven't seen it since. So
that's awesome. Well,
good deal, guys. We appreciate y'all being on, and hopefully we'll have y'all again on for too long. And good luck at the Classic Tournament, and have a good Thanksgiving coming up, and be safe.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Bye.
All right, we only got two tournaments, and one of them was connected with that bass tournament. It was Tent Cat had their club. It was their club. What's up?
No, I was saying, and who won that event?
Oh yeah, well, Brandon Strock. And it was 36 anglers. That one was only three fish, but Brandon won it with 55. Keith Freeze with 49 and 3/4, and Eric Thomason, that dude's a hammer, with 48 and 3/4. And then Cumberland Kayak CKT, I think Cumberland Kayak T? Trail. There you go. Had their season closer on Thursday. There's only 25 anglers, but nobody else having tournaments right now, so I'm going with it. Two-day tournament, Thomas Davis with 93 and 1/4. Whooped everybody. Second was Timmy Sinarong with 80 and 3/4. I know I pronounced that wrong. I'm sorry, bud. And then David Hacker with 78 and 1/4. And then our boy, Adam Reiser in 4th with 78 inches. So, yeah, Thomas Davis, like, destroyed
the field. Down the hammer.
Almost 13 inches. So, yeah, that was a major beat down. But congrats to everybody. Thanks to you guys being on tonight. And again, we won't be live for a while, but next week we have Drew Gregory, the man himself, Mr. Crescent Kayaks, the the Hobie 2020 Angler of the Year, AOY. And going to talk to him about that, talk to him about just a year they had, maybe talk a little fantasy fishing. I guess that's over now. And my year was okay. A couple of guys didn't do as well as I had hoped they would. It seems so crazy now. Like, you pick these people in fantasy fishing, and it's like, why didn't I choose Jody Queen? Like, yeah. I don't even know if I chose Russ Snyder. I know I had Cody Milton. I'd have to go back and listen, look who I picked. Maybe you couldn't choose them all, but how did I not pick Jody, Russ, and Cody? Like,
yeah,
that's ridiculous to not choose those three people. And Drew, how would you not choose Drew?
Yeah, he definitely showed up and showed out in tournament fishing this year.
Yeah, and he did, sure. Started Hobie late. He just came like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and fish Hobie, and then boom, Angler of the Year right at the end. So just came out of nowhere. Like, you know, at the beginning of the year, it was Kurt. And Kurt's awesome. Go back and listen to a Noob show from this week. He was just on there. But, some other people are doing great this year. And then just Drew showed up and said, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take that AOY. So I'm going to go ahead and get that Halloween-colored Hobie. And I'm just going to sell it because, you know, I like Crescent Cuts. I don't even want your Halloween-colored Hobie.
Well, before we go, I was going to – like you said, we're going to cut the live thing for a while. It's kind of end of the season, but for anybody in the Southern Tri-State area, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, or anybody coming down, the Dugout winter series is still going. You still got the month of December to fish. So come on down. And then I was going to give them a shout out too, cause I actually won something finally on one of their giveaways. They're giving away all sorts of stuff every week. So appreciate them guys on that. And then, just kind of as the year closer, you know, shout out to all the clubs that, you know, make it possible for us to talk about tournament fishing, and all the directors that put in hard work, and all the sponsors and companies that are coming on to believe in kayak fishing. And, you know, just thanks to everybody, and can't wait to see how 2021 looks. It's going to be bigger than ever, if I had to guess.
Yeah. And we're about to make that transition from, you know, we'll talk to Drew next week, and we'll you know, we're kind of going, after that show, we'll branch out. We'll be talking about all kind of clubs, state of the industry, state of rules changes, you know, all the cool things we get to talk about in the winter that we don't, whenever we're talking about tournaments during the middle of the year, that we don't get to talk about. So that's always fun to be a change of pace for us. So yeah, a lot of cool shows coming up. Looking forward to that. But yeah, check us out. If you watch us live every week, you have to listen to us on all the different podcasts, but you know, I don't know. Podcasts, it's 2020. Get with it.
Thing, man. I mean, everybody's got holiday breaks coming up.
Yeah, but most people listen on the podcast anyway, so
that's right.
There you go. All right. But yeah, if you're out there kayaking, be safe, bring a splash bag. Like, go with a friend. Be careful. Seriously.
I don't do any of those things, so don't be like me.
Yeah. Don't be like Jimmy. And wear your PFD. Seriously. It's that time of year. Be safe.
That's right. All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to y'all next week. Later.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. TRC Covers, protect your investment. Catch Products, shout out to Catch Products. Go to catchproducts.com and put the Paddle and Fin logo directly on your catch board. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com, use promo code PNF20 and save 20% on all your jig and tackle needs.